If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16. Proverbs, chapter 16. This is God's word. To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this. They will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. The lips of a king speak as an oracle, and his mouth should not betray justice. Honest scales and balances are from the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making. Kings detest wrongdoing, for a throne is established through righteousness. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. A king's wrath is a messenger of death, but a wise man will appease it. When a king's face brightens, it means life. His favor is like a rain cloud in spring. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. The highway of the upright avoids evil. He who guards his way guards his life. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. The wise in heart are called discerning, and pleasant words promote instruction. Understanding is a fountain of life to those who have it, but folly brings punishment to fools. A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. Pleasant words are honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. The laborer's appetite works for him. His hunger drives him on. A scoundrel plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him down a path that is not good. He who winks with his eyes plotting perversity. He who purses his lips is bent on evil. Gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life. Better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The title for today's message and the main point for today's message is the Lord controls the outcome. The Lord controls the outcome. We see that throughout this chapter in repeated Proverbs, and we'll start off in verse 1. Look at verse 1. To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. Have you ever thought ahead of time about what you wanted to say, and then when you tried to say it, it didn't come out the way you planned? Anybody ever have that experience? There was a television program some years ago that I cannot recommend because it had many things that were celebrating values that are contrary to truth. But there was an opening scene. They always started off with some humorous opening scene. And in this particular scene, two fellas are standing at a bar when a very attractive woman comes in to the bar, and both of them, immediately seeing her, want to try and strike up a conversation with her. And so they talk together about which of them ought to approach her, and arguing, of course, because they both think she's so attractive. And then finally, they say, well, we'll go over there together and I'll speak first. And so, you know, what are you going to say? Well, I'm going to say, da-da. So they've got their little plan. And they walk up to her, and she turns and just looks at them like, you know, yes. She doesn't say anything. She just turns and looks at them. And the one guy goes, and the other guy pushes him back and says, and that's the end of the scene. Now, the reason we laugh is, on the one hand, they made idiots of themselves. But the other reason we laugh is, we've all done that. We've all been in a situation where we really wanted to make a good impression, we really wanted to say the right thing, and when we went to say it, it just came out wrong. A friend of mine who's now in heaven had a very prominent nose as one of her facial features. And she developed skin cancer on her nose. I mean, it was just out in the sun a lot, if you know what I mean. So I was her pastor, and I was invited to go and see her after her surgery. And they had removed the cancer, but while they were at it, she had them, you know, just trim a little bit off the prominent proboscis. And so as she lay there in the bed with this very wounded face, she said to me, "Does it look terrible?" And I wanted to say, "No, it looks like it should heal nicely." But that's not what came out. What came out was, "No worse than before." I was horrified. Who is this man standing here in a suit, masquerading as a pastor, bringing words of pain instead of comfort to his flock? I mean, I was horrified. I still was asked to do her funeral many, many years later. We still remained friends. She actually supported this ministry. And now that she's in heaven, she thinks it's funny. But I'm telling you, that was not at all what I intended to say. It's just what came out. Oh, is that horrible? You and I can make all kinds of plans, but God is still ultimately in control of the outcome. And we need to understand that. Now, there are two things that you can do in response to that. One is to be constantly frustrated because God might not let you have your way. The other is to realize God is exceedingly wise. He knows all things. And He is working everything together for a good outcome for those who belong to Him. I think at that moment in the hospital, not to blame God for my mistake, but I think at that moment in the hospital, it was probably very good for her because she was prone to saying things like that deliberately. It was very good for her to hear something that was not typical pastoral care. And it was definitely good for me because I left the room about 6 inches shorter in my own estimate, okay? What an idiot. I can't believe I said that. Golly, Lord, please help me. Well, I need to be leaving the room saying that, but I should have been entering the room saying that. Lord, please help me. I can do nothing apart from You. I'm not the guy who knows what to say all the time. No, sometimes I don't know what to say. And sometimes I need to just keep my mouth shut. So you can plan. The plans of the heart belong to man. But the Lord determines what actually happens. He determines the outcome. We're going to see that repeatedly in this chapter. Verse 2, All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Again, I cannot count the number of times when I thought I was doing something for good reasons, only to realize later as the Lord convicted me that no, I had a whole different set of motives that I was not willing to even think about. There were other things at work in my heart that were not honoring to the Lord. They were not unselfish. They were prideful or hoping for a better outcome. All of us are going to have mixed motives. We've talked about that when we looked at the life of King David. We're all going to have mixed motives. But God sees our motivation. God knows what's in our heart. He doesn't just look at what we're doing. He looks at why we're doing it. Verse 3, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. Does this mean I'll always get my way? No, it means you trust the Lord, seek to do what He says, and the outcome is going to end up being a good thing. Your plans will succeed, meaning if you are walking in the Lord's ways in whatever you do, God will make sure that the outcome is good. Why? Verse 4, because the Lord works out everything for His own ends. That's what we're talking about. The Lord controls the outcome. The Lord works out everything for His own ends, for His purpose. He's in control here. Even the wicked for a day of disaster. God has a plan that encompasses all the details. Then in verse 5, another note is sounded. It has to do with pride. Verse 5, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this. They will not go unpunished. Look at verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Verse 19, better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. If you are humble, verse 20 will describe your life. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. When you're prideful, you think you've got it made. You think your ways are best. You think you've got it all figured out. You're very favorably impressed with yourself. I'm telling you, God promises to oppose the proud. I don't want to walk in opposition to God. And I don't want God to be working against me. Because I guarantee you, He's going to win. So I want to get in step with God's ways. And that begins with humility, the fear of the Lord. If you really reverence God, if you really trust in Him, if you really humble yourself before Him, you'll want to do His will. Now, I've told you before about one of my favorite personal experiences with pride going before a fall, but just in case there's somebody here who's new or has amnesia, I'm going to remind you because and it was one of my favorite stories. Looking back in life, it was a formative experience. It helped me. I was wearing my first real suit. I had previously had only sport jackets and slacks for dress wear. The reason for that is because little kids grow so fast that it's silly to try and buy them. I'm telling parental advice here. It's silly to try and buy them a matching jacket and slacks that are a suit that are supposed to be worn together because they're not going to stay in it long enough for that to work. So you buy them little jackets and you buy them little trousers and they go together, and if they outgo the trousers, they might still be able to wear the jackets, and that all works, okay? But it's a sport coat and slacks. It's only when you begin to slow down in your growth that you begin to approach the stage where a real suit That is matching jacket and slacks, the same fabric, same cut, same designer, all together for one price. That's when you've arrived. And I had arrived. We had gotten a suit. It was a pinstripe suit from Bon Marché in Asheville, North Carolina. I had a black shirt that went with that, in my opinion, and a white polyester tie that was designed to look like silk, and I thought I was styling. I thought I was a fashion plate. I was so impressed with how I looked, I could just hardly stand to tear myself away from the mirror. And, in the summertime, here I am wearing a black pinstripe suit with a black shirt in the summer. Yeah, that's a real sense of fashion. But there I was wearing that, going to church on Sunday. My parents were elsewhere. And in this particular situation, the preacher was really doing a terrible job, and I got up to leave the service, which I was permitted to do if the preaching was heretical. And this guy was bad news, okay? He was preaching at the conference center in Montreat, and they, from time to time, had wonderful people come and speak there, and from time to time, they had horrible people come and speak there, and my parents trusted me to decide whether or not this was somebody I needed to stay and listen to. Well, this guy was really basically telling us not to believe the Bible, and so I decided, okay, I'm out of here. And as I walked out the back door of Anderson Auditorium, there was a kid, you know, I was 12, he was a kid. There was a kid sitting on the stairs out behind the place, and I saw him, and I could just read his mind as he looked at me. He was thinking, undoubtedly, what a sharp, well-dressed, handsome young man that is. And so I wanted to kind of give him a friendly nod to reassure him that if he really worked hard, he might, within a matter of years, grow into the kind of handsome, well-dressed young man that I was. So I smiled and nodded and walked right into a stone column. Face first, okay? I mean, the outside of that building had these stone columns that jutted out, and I don't mean that they were styrofoam columns. I mean they were stone, made of rock. And I didn't hit it with my foot and then follow up with my face. I led with my face. And I mean, it was stunning. It was just boom! And I turned around to sort of reassure him, like Pee Wee Herman, you know. I did that on purpose. I turned around to kind of reassure him that I was okay, and I couldn't see him. I couldn't see him. The world was spinning. My vision was gone. I was injured. And I walked on around the corner staggering, trying to keep from collapsing, and then just leaned up against the building and started laughing. Because immediately, this verse that I had memorized as a child was flashing like a neon sign in my brain. Pride goes before a fall. 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 I want you to say that with me. Pride goes before a fall. If you think you are really great, you're gonna fall. It is guaranteed. It's not something that may happen. Well, watch out. If you have a really super high opinion of yourself, you could end up embarrassing yourself. No, if you have a really high opinion of yourself, God will embarrass you. Okay? And it's the mercy of God to do so. Because there is only one in the universe who warrants our worship, and it's God. So if we start giving our affection to other things, acting as if that's what really matters, God is going to destroy our idols. And if you think you are fantastic, watch out. Because God guarantees, He guarantees that He opposes the proud. But He gives grace to the humble. So, whoever gives heed to instruction, Whoever is humble and saying, I know I don't have it all figured out. I need help. I need direction. Whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. It is through, verse 6, it is through the fear of the Lord that a man avoids evil. And when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Therefore, it is better to have just a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. Why? Because God controls the outcome. You may be thinking, oh, I ripped that guy off. Look at all I got. Look at all you got. You better enjoy it for a few minutes because God's going to take it away from you. God guarantees that he's in control of the outcome and that he will avenge those who are oppressed against those who oppress them. Verse 9, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Go back to verse 1. To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. Do you see a pattern here? God controls the outcome. Verses 11 and following talk about the importance of being honest in our business dealings. Honest scales and balances are from the Lord. All the weights in the bag are of his making. Verse 13, kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. Does that mean that every king is a good king and values these things? No. But a real king does. The others are imposters. The others are usurpers. The others are put there as punishment to a wicked people. I'll tell you, in this country, we have some really bad people in government. We have some good people too, but we have some really bad people in government. Why is that? Well, according to Scripture, it's because God gives those kinds of rulers to people who despise God's rule. If you do not want God to rule over you, God will give you something less than God to rule over you. If you're not going to worship the God who is God, you will end up giving yourself in worship to something that is less than God. And so when a country has really bad rulers, it's an indication that the people are saying no to God's rule. When the people want God to rule, God will give them godly rulers. That's the pattern all through history. If people are eager to do God's will, there may be suffering, there may be persecution, but the outcome, the end game, is that God's reign is established. So, honesty in business and in communication are valued by those who fear the Lord. Verse 16, how much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. What is he saying? He's saying that money is not as valuable as knowing what God says and doing it. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Understanding has to do with seeing things as they really are. And so that is more valuable than money. If you make millions of dollars but you don't know what to do with it, you will end up like most of the professional athletes. I met recently with a number of young people, and when I asked them, what is your goal long term? What would you like to do long term? What do you want to be when you get older? They all wanted to be professional athletes. Why? Because they love the game? No. Because they want to be rich. They want money. When you get a little older and you can do research, do a research project about what happens to the wealth of most people who make tons of money in sports or the entertainment industry. They end up losing it because they don't have understanding. If I gave you $10 million, I don't have $10 million. If I gave you $10 million, 10 years later, would you have more than $10 million or less than $10 million? Depends on whether or not you have understanding. Okay? Now, I will state one exception to that. A man with understanding inherited millions of dollars and felt called to ministry and went to seminary. And by the time he finished seminary, he had given away half of his inheritance. So he started out with this much money, and after a few years, he only had this much money. But he was a man of understanding, because he didn't lose his money. He invested it in the spread of the gospel. That's understanding. That's wisdom. But I'm telling you, most people, if you ask them, will take the money. Okay? I mean, that's really where our security is. Jesus says you can't serve God and money. You can't. Jesus says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many travel on it. Narrow is the way that leads to life. I just want to ask you honestly, where's your heart? What are you after? What do you think will provide satisfaction and peace and security? If you think it's money, think again. I'm not going to tell you all my theories about where our economy is likely headed. I'm just going to tell you this. Your security had better be in the Lord, because if it's in anything else, you have been set up. Our security is in the Lord. And God never fails to care for His own. Verse 21, the wise in heart are called discerning, and pleasant words promote instruction. Understanding is a fountain of life to those who have it, but folly brings punishment to fools. Look at verse 23. A wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. I thought we just heard something about promoting instruction. We did back in verse 21. Now look at verse 24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. God says that what we say actually has an impact on other people. And if we say the right thing from Him, it brings comfort and joy and healing and instruction. And that's what we should aspire to. That's what we should want coming forth from our mouth. Do you say things that encourage people and build people up, or do you say things that tear people down? I saw a just hilarious, clean comic, Keith Alberstadt, out there on YouTube. And Keith did a routine in which he suggested that what he needs is an earpiece, like a quarterback on a football team. So that when he's about to say the wrong thing, he can get a warning from his coach saying, don't say that, say this instead. He said, that way when I'm out on a date with a young lady and she's talking to me and sharing her soul, this is what would happen. You knitted a Snuggie for your dog, that's adorable. Folks, we don't need an earpiece. What we need is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. What we need is to desire for God to use us for His glory. God knows our heart. God knows our motives. The fact of the matter is, God will control the outcome as we yield ourselves to Him. And then in verse 25, we hear again the words that we saw in chapter 14, verse 12. Now, Proverbs 16, 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. That's why we need to be eager to heed instruction. Because whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and the one who trusts in the Lord is blessed. If we trust in ourselves, if we rely on our own understanding, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Verse 26 says, the laborer's appetite works for him. His hunger drives him on. Now, we've just heard that God knows our motives. Let me tell you something. If the only motive you have for working is just because it's the only way you can get your next meal, that's not the best motive for work. But it beats not working. It beats not working. People who think that they should just be fed for doing nothing, God disagrees. There are people who cannot work, who cannot take care of themselves. They need our compassionate support. But to pay people not to work, to take away the incentive for working by making it so that you will be better off financially if you don't get a job, that is evil. It's not just bad economics. It's not just bad politics. It is evil. It is absolutely evil. And you and I need to understand that and realize the government is not doing any favors for the people it enslaves through the welfare system. So, the laborer's appetite works for him. He benefits from the fact that his hunger drives him on because it gets him to do the right thing, which is to work. Work and work hard. Look at verse 28. A perverse man stirs up dissension. A gossip separates close friends. Verses 27, 28, 29, 30 are all talking about bad ways that speech can be used. To stir up dissension, to separate close friends, to lead people into violence. That's destructive. It's like a scorching fire, we read in verse 27. Verse 31. This is a wonderful verse. This is my life verse now. Gray hair is a crown of splendor, and it's attained by a righteous life. Well, what does that mean if you go bald? That doesn't mean anything. This is simply saying, don't complain about getting old. It beats the alternative. Okay? If you live long enough to have gray hair, thank God for it. Okay? Don't complain. I don't look the same as I used to. No, that's because you've been around a long time. You've gone from grape to raisin. It's okay. Raisins are good. Verse 32, better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Let me ask you, which are you more impressed with? Somebody who's able to overlook an offense or somebody who never lets anybody get away with saying or doing anything that is offensive? The second person's an idiot. I didn't think we were supposed to call people idiots. Well, let me tell you the sense in which that word is being used. It means somebody who puts themselves in the place of God and does a very bad job imitating Him. I am astounded. I was talking with God yesterday about how absolutely I'm astounded at His patience and His mercy and His grace. As I watched the sunset last evening, my son was in the hospital and we were trying to get some stuff done for him, which, thank God, they seem to have helped him and we're grateful. But I'll tell you something. I looked out at that sky in the west and it was so magnificent, and I thought, God, why don't you just destroy us all? What is the deal? You are so amazingly merciful and patient and kind. Just blows me away. Why would God overlook for so long people who are begging for His wrath by their behavior? We're living in a country where God's word is so readily available, and people despise His word and are totally ignorant of His word. Why? Because their hearts are hostile toward God. Please, people, understand, God is marvelously patient and kind and forgiving and willing to overlook offense after offense after offense and to forgive people who ask forgiveness. He is a merciful, patient, tender God. If we're going to be like Him, we're going to have to be like that. So, it's better to be a patient man than a warrior. Well, I believe we need warriors. Yes, we do need warriors. But more than that, we need men who have patience. Better a patient man than a warrior. A man who controls his temper. Doesn't mean he doesn't have a temper. It means he controls his temper. Better to be a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. Wow. Does that mean it's easier to conquer a city than it is to exert self-control? Yeah, actually it does. It's easier to fight other people than it is to control yourself. Good news is the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. So the one you need to yield to is Him. And He will give you self-control. Verse 33 is the final reminder that the Lord controls the outcome. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. This is an ancient way of determining what God was saying to His people. And what they knew was this. Flipping a coin may seem random. Rolling the dice may seem random. Casting the lot may seem random. But God is in control, even of things that seem random to us. God's in control. God controls the outcome. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much that You are in control, and therefore we don't need to worry. We don't need to be anxious and uptight. You are a great and gracious King who delights in honesty. Grant that we would be people who delight in You and that we would eagerly do Your will. We'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.